It's time for Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast with your hosts, Eric C. Lindstrom and Cheryl Leahy.
Welcome to this week's Vegan Family Podcast. We're so excited to bring you ideas for compassionate gift giving this holiday season.
That's right. Whichever holiday you celebrate this time of year, we've got you covered.
Gift giving is always a challenge, and even more a challenge when buying for your vegan family members, or at least your non-vegan family members think
that. That's right.
But we're here to help, plus another giveaway.
Yay, a giveaway. From books to art to compassionate clothing and more, stay tuned as we pour ourselves some vegan nog and we flip the switch on our gas fireplace, at least here in upstate New York we are, for another episode of the Vegan Family Podcast brought to you by Compassion Over Killing and Tri-Veg.
Since 1995, Compassion Over Killing has served as an unwavering force, bringing about positive changes for animals. Please consider a tax-deductible donation today. Visit COK.net for more.
And we're back.
Yay. So yes, this time of year is the frantic last minute. What am I going to get my friends, family members, and kids for Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other holidays that are celebrated right now? So what do you do? What ideas can we give people this time of year to give vegan slash compassionate, ethically sourced, fair trade? What are the things that we need to look for when we're trying to buy gifts this time of year?
Well, let me first say that term last minute gives me anxiety. Because it seems like...
I know.
Because it seems like every year people start using that term earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
And I know that I have a lot of people to buy for. I have a big family and like extended family. And there's times when I hear people say last minute gift ideas and it's like, I haven't even started.
Right. It's December 10th. It's not that late.
I know. It's like you shouldn't have to start until well into December.
Okay. So I have to tell you one thing that I'm guilty of, and I'm not proud of this at all. And this is why maybe I, in the back of my mind, am thinking last minute at all times, because I do find myself in a store. I won't even name the store because that in itself is kind of embarrassing to me. But I'll stand there in those last few days before Christmas Eve, let's say, and I'll just start looking at the shelves and I'll start putting things into a cart. And I don't like that. I don't like just being that person who says, what the heck? I need something to wrap. Let me find something that's in my price range, something I think they'll like. It becomes so random at that point. It becomes something that's not what I think gift giving should be, where it's a very thought out, you know, a meaningful item that they're going to cherish.
Yeah. And I think that's the sort of source of that rush yeah. anxiety, because you want to sit and think about what that person would like and what's kind of cool to give. And I think the vegan element adds to that because it's fun. It gives something like a person can be into a thing,
yeah.
you know, and that makes yeah. it easier to buy for them.
Yep.
So one thing that I do, we have on one side of my family, we do like a Secret Santa, and we have lists. So every time on the list, I have like a disclaimer, like this is what vegan means.
Yeah, yeah. these are the things that to look out for. You know, here's some of the tips and items that are vegan approved. I mean, there's the obvious things like not using animal products or animal byproducts and, you know, maybe labeled vegan or labeled with the bunny for no animal testing. Some of those things are easy, but then there's other items where you don't know where the chocolate was sourced or things that, you know, we think about that perhaps other people don't think about. And that's why, you know, this episode hopefully will help sort of focus in on narrow that scope for some of our listeners so that they know what they're choosing has already been sort of pre-selected by professional vegans.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the gift-giving season is this might be the time of the year that we most have to think about vegan translation for non-vegans.
Yeah.
Like what we really have to think about, how are people thinking about what it means to be vegan, even if it's not really part of their normal consciousness, and what might they be forgetting about or not understanding? So, like, I remember a year when Uggs were really in style
yes,
and popular. And it seemed like oddly really popular, even in my The previous preschool that we went to was like a really like, you know, play-based, humanitarian, compassionate preschool. And it seemed like everybody was still wearing Uggs. And I remember that when we did the Compassion Over Killing, did the Superior investigation, Farms investigation, which is a slaughter plant of sheep, lamb, and people don't connect. Like, oh, this is where Uggs come from.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so even if they feel sort of aware of the issues, they may not fully get it because they're not thinking. They're thinking, oh, this is a trendy thing. So especially at wintertime, things like that might start to sneak in, and things also like, you know, pea coats that are made out of wool, or just, you know, because it's winter. So people start thinking about, you know, fuzzy socks, and they might have wool and things like that. So there's things that I have to think, okay, I really have to translate at this time of year differently than maybe the rest of the year.
Yeah. And those are really great examples. And as you mentioned, clothing, Cheryl, I want to bring up, because that's sometimes, I mean, it's always welcome for me. I love getting something new to wear. And so when you talk about this time of year, whether it be a sweater or a vegan, you know, activist t-shirt or a cap, I have a baseball cap now with a V on it. And I get more questions, people asking me what the V stands for, than any other sort of obvious messaging, which is great. But there's a lot of really amazing vegan-owned and ethically produced t-shirt and clothing companies out there. Like the one that I was thinking of was Compassion Co. Their artwork, oh my gosh. In fact, the Bearded Vegans have a podcast. Their artwork is just off the charts. It's so beautiful. And anyone, I think, would love to wear these beautiful silk-screened, again, vegan-approved shirts from Compassion Co. or Plant-Based Drippin', you know, Gray, who's the vegan rapper who went viral with his Thanksgiving song. He and Chef Nikki started a clothing company. And their wear is just, it's a statement. It's cool. If I got something like that, I would love it. I think there's a lot of things out there that, you know, people just need a little bit of guidance. And maybe just a quick internet search would help. Asking vegan friends, what do you wear? What would you like to wear? You know, it definitely helps to eliminate those things that you were talking about. Like you said, a pea coat or something that, even silk. I mean, I won't wear silk anymore. And so silk ties, you know, other silk clothing, I completely avoid and wouldn't wear if it was given to me. So just knowing sort of what to avoid, knowing what vegans will open and love, you know, and appreciate. You know, those are the things that the Herbivore Clothing Company is another one.
I love them.
Oh my gosh, they're incredible. And I visited them out in Portland. They're in, of course, that little strip mall that's almost, I think, 100%.
Yeah, we just went out there.
Oh my gosh.
Two months ago, and we were just up there. And the kids picked out like cute little things. And
I couldn't believe it that I was standing in Food Fight. I mean, I walked, and of course, I've been to vegan grocery stores before, but for some reason, that one felt like, you know, the holy grail of vegan shops. And, yeah, everything in that store is vegan. And so if you're lucky enough to live somewhere like Portland, or I'm sure there's other places in LA and bigger cities where you walk in and you know that you're buying all vegan, like Mushu's in New York City. They have one in LA too. You know, you walk into Mushu's and you know that they've gone through, they've done the vetting for you, and they've created things that are, again, cruelty-free, wonderful items that you can give this time of year.
And conveniently, your friends at Compassion Over Killing, brought to you by us,
that's right,
made this holiday gift guide.
I know. And that's fantastic. It was pulled together recently. And if you go to cok.net and then click on blog and scroll down to some of the more recent, it's within, you know, we'll be within, of course, this month. You'll see a list of cosmetics and clothing and accessories. And then another topic that, of course, another great gift-giving idea for families, kids, young adults, are books. And that's going to lead to our giveaway in a moment. But we are the family that reads to our two kids every night, a minimum of 5 books every night.
Yeah, and we do that too.
Yeah,
and it's so sometimes boring. It's like, how many books can I know. You get through?
I know. And actually, you know what? Here's a tip for you if you haven't done this yet. And it was a gift given to us a number of years ago, probably 4 years ago, and it's still held up. There are books which are really thick, like 2 inches thick, full color printing. The one we have is called Animals. And it's almost like reading, you know, the entire encyclopedia about every life form on the planet in vibrant color, all of the little information about where they live, what they eat, their habitat. And it goes from mammals to invertebrates to every creature on the planet. And we have looked at that book, I think, pretty much every night for the past 3 years. It's something that we'll open.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, we'll talk about gorillas, and something will happen, and we'll say, "Hey, wait, that animal is in your book," and we'll go get the book. And it's one of those things that will last forever as long as, you know, the quality of the book will hold up. But in terms of the content, this is a book written for probably high school aged and older. But as an adult reading it to a 5 and a 4 year old, they're finding it fascinating, and they're taking that back with them. So
yeah,
I would definitely.
We had a book that was gifted to us years ago. I think my older one was not even one.
Yep.
And it is the size of probably 3 feet tall. And it's also just called Animals. And it's basically I guess you'd call it a coffee table book, but it's too big for a coffee table. And it's got, you know, these beautiful pictures. It's basically to showcase the pictures, but each animal page has, you know, facts about the animals and stuff. And we have gone, that used to be just sort of displayed on some page in the room for probably years until there's too much stuff in the room to
get it
in there. But we've gone through that book a ton, and we have a similar smaller one, but I just, you know, I hadn't even thought that would be a good gift idea for young kids, because it was amazing for us, like, to really just have, and I mean, it's so heavy and everything. They're almost like sitting on it while going through but there's so many animals in there that were just really cool, beautiful pictures.
I'll tell you, I don't know what your posture is when you're reading to your kids, but I'm on my back and they're on either side of me if I'm reading to both of them, or either way, I'm laying there holding the book up. And so when it's a smaller book, you know, some of those more paperback style books, it's not an effort. But with this Animals book, after laying there for a good 15 minutes, my arms are getting tired, and they don't understand. I'm actually not making a joke. I can't hold that book up much longer. It's just physically impossible with that Animals book. So, but still, it's a great read. I've learned a lot, and so I would recommend that. Also, again, part of the list here that's pulled together for this gift guide is one of our new favorite books, is The True Adventures of Esther the Wonder Pig. I don't know if you've read that yet, but it's an incredible, obviously, the story of Esther is incredible. Two guys who picked up what they thought would be a mini pig ends up growing to be over 600 pounds, and then ultimately ends up inspiring them to become ethical vegans and open Happily Ever Esther Farm Sanctuary outside of Toronto. And it's a beautiful story, really fun illustrations. You can follow Esther on all social media and just sort of see what she's up to. There's also the books that we were prompted to read this past week or two. You and I were sent copies of. That is Sprig the Pig and Gwen the Rescue Hen. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. These were great.
Yeah, so cute. Tell me about how we have a clip. I'm going to run the clip right now.
Suddenly, Pig knew what he had to do. He had to go after that smell. I don't know. Excuse me, pardon me, grunted Pig as he slipped his limber young body through the crowd of pigs. He stopped for a moment and he lifted his nose. Sniff, sniff. It's out there. He pushed and pressed and shoved his way through the edge of the truck.
If I grow up, I'm not going to be a truck deliver that delivers pigs to eat.
How come?
Because they're not good.
What's not good?
They don't feel good.
Yeah.
You know what? I should bring that book to school tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? How come?
Well, they promised they'll read Eva's book, but they'll probably read mine in the, when we're going home.
So you think if you bring this book to school tomorrow, they'll read it to your class?
Yeah.
So how come you want them to read it to your class?
It's really good.
Oh, good.
And it's like in real life, what?
Yeah, it kind of tells the real story, even though it's just a pretend story, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He pushed and pressed and shoved his way to the edge of the truck where he paused. There are times that it's a mighty good thing we aren't good at certain things. This was one of those times. Pigs may have a tremendous sense of smell, but their eyesight, not so much. Had Pig been able to see below him, he might have never done the crazy thing he was about to do. Well, what was he about to do? Look at him.
I don't know.
He took a leap, well, really more of a step, off the edge of the truck. Thwamp! Look at, he landed right on there. Am I dead? Pig thought, and then he realized that he, since he could think this, he couldn't be dead. He scrambled to his feet. Just in time.
First he was there, now he's there?
Yeah. Because he didn't realize how big of a step it was. He just walked right off the truck because he was like so interested in whatever the smell was. Uh-oh, what's this? What the? It was the driver who was looking at Pig in his rearview mirror. He jumped out of his truck and charged at Pig. Thump, thump. Yikes, Pig did what only a very scared pig could do. Run. Run, Pig, run! The other pigs cheered. He almost stopped to look back at his friends, but the man was gaining on him. If he didn't get away now, it was bacon for him. So Pig raced down a hill toward the rich foresty smell and away from the driver's pounding footsteps. Run, Pig! What does that say?
Run, Pig.
Tell me about what it was like reading these books to your kids.
Yeah, I have sort of the 5-year-old review on this.
That's excellent. I know. It's fantastic.
I thought, you know, we sort of have mentioned this in the previous podcast, but I tend toward wanting to give the information, like more information, the better, like that the kids want the information, you know, we just sort of lay it out there. And so whenever I read a kid's book, I immediately am a little worried that it's going to sugarcoat things. Yeah. And I thought that this book did a really good job of engaging with the topic without just totally avoiding, you know, the issue of what basically happens to them. I mean, a lot of it is implied. If you are a parent that is worried that your kids will be traumatized, there's nothing traumatizing in the books at all. Yeah. But it is nice because it gives enough of a sense of story. It really has a good, I think, storytelling, like the skill in the storytelling, the elements and the rhythm, you know, it is good enough to sort of imply what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think the illustrations are so beautiful that it kind of keeps, you know, it's funny and sort of sweet, but it did elicit substantive responses. So I thought that was good. And that's always what I love. I love to hear them just talk about their thoughts.
Now, these books are from Stone Pier Press, written by Leslie Crawford and illustrated by Sonia Stengel. And before this call, I was telling you how much I love these illustrations. I'm a cartoonist myself, and the mixed media, the beautiful black and white and the color pages that she puts throughout this book, you know, to accompany, of course, Leslie's words. I think these are two very special books, so I'm very, very excited about doing a giveaway to our listeners.
It's time for another giveaway.
So the first person to email us at veganfamily at triveg.com saying that they want the books, we'll actually send them out to them. We're very fortunate that Stone Pier offered these books to us as a giveaway. It's going to be exciting, I hope, when someone responds, and maybe we can get them out as soon as possible. But yeah, these are fantastic books. And more books like this, again, remind me of the importance of, as you say, the storytelling to keep kids sort of informed in a manner that they can understand. You know, the books that we're reading, the Ruby Roth books, are a little bit more hard-hitting than perhaps Sprig the Pig and Gwen the Rescue Hen. But still, we read all of the Ruby Roth books to our kids. We have this Benny the Brontosaurus book where Benny is a brontosaurus and he gets invited to a T-Rex birthday party. And of course, all the T-Rexes are carnivores. And he talks his friend T or T-Rex or something to get a veggie burger. And so we're constantly like, you know, I wouldn't say we're doing all five books every night with some sort of vegan messaging, but we are careful about what we're reading our kids, and we do the editing on the spot. If there's something in a book that we really don't want to, you know, talk to the kids about, we just eliminate. Luckily, they can't read yet, so we're able to do that. But yeah, I think definitely books are just one of the most special, long-lasting, meaningful gifts that you can give during the holidays.
Yeah, I agree. And I think about what were the things that really sort of sparked my vegan journey, right? Like, yep. What planted the seeds? And I think a lot of that was books, and a lot of it was also, you know, Disney movies. Like, it's so interesting to think now about the things that are the themes in the Disney movies. And I know they're supposed to be allegorical and you're supposed to think about humans in those roles, but you know, it's undeniable that the message about the animals is there too. I mean, even in Little Mermaid, in the Under the Sea song, they say, you know, nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us. I just love that. And there's a Finding Nemo, very similar. And, you know, 101 Dalmatians. So I think those stories, whether they come in movie form or book form, can be really great to kind of bring imagination and empathy and thinking about these issues, because I think kids have such natural connection with animals anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's so many books about Disney movies.
Yeah, I know. You know, and you're talking, at least I've been talking about sort of like me giving books to you to read to your kids, and similarly me buying books that I can read to my kids. But think of the importance of buying some of these books for parents whose kids aren't vegan. You know, again, where you're sort of like slipping a little bit of activism into their routine to just say, here's a book, you know, Gwen the Rescue Hen is a wonderful children's book. You inscribe it on the inside, say, hope you enjoyed this. Happy holidays. And then you send it off to some friends who have kids. They'll read this story and it's going to make them stop and think.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of mainstream material in the kids genre that is very pro-vegan in its messaging.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loves Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, exactly. Right. A great point. Terrific book. And so other things that are on this list that I really am a huge fan of is food. So when you can find vegan companies who are willing to ship you food, one that comes to mind is Vegan Cuts. I know a lot of people who subscribe to Vegan Cuts, and they do a lot of unboxing videos on Instagram or on Facebook, where they're showing, like, here's what I'm getting in my Vegan Cuts box. And it's, you know, mostly vegan junk food, you know, things like chips and maybe vegan jerky and other, you know, things that you normally wouldn't try. But it does open your eyes up to how many things out there are delicious and vegan. And so something like Vegan Cuts or Vegan Treats, you can actually order online. Of course, you know about, and I don't know if you've visited yet, but Herbivorous Butcher in Minneapolis.
I've not been there.
I can't wait to go. They've changed everything. They've turned everything upside down with their vegan butcher shop that's been featured on the Food Network. They're shipping their products now around the country. You can actually buy it online and have it shipped to your house. I know they have some gift boxes. In fact, another gift box that I just saw was from Miyoko's, where they have pulled together this beautiful, incredibly huge box of her vegan cheeses, her sort of artisanal gourmet vegan cheeses. And I'm telling you right now, anybody would love that. You don't have to be vegan to love getting, I forget how many are in this box, but to get a package like that in the mail of vegan cheeses would be most welcome, hint, hint, to anyone listening, including Miyoko. So Miyoko, if you're listening to this, please send me a box.
I know. I'm like, I want that on my list.
I know, right? Like, if there's one thing, well, I wouldn't say one thing, but definitely it would be right up there. So yeah, these are all fantastic ideas. If anyone has any ideas for other items that you would like to get for the holidays or for birthdays, by all means, send us an email at veganfamily@triveg.com. We would love to hear all of your ideas for gift giving as well as ideas for upcoming shows. Artwork is on here. Of course, you can also shop through Amazon and choose Amazon Smile to benefit Compassion Over Killing. We always appreciate that. Oh, and also I was thinking about how about memberships to farm sanctuaries or sponsoring an animal or finding things that, you know, support these sort of sanctuaries and these organizations that help animals, to put something like that in a card to say, you know, I've given, you know, $50 in your name to an animal rights group or to some organization. And, you know, really showing that as long as I'm spending money, I'd like to be spent toward something that's, you know, again, long lasting and meaningful.
That's a great idea. I think the ways, any way for families to engage directly with, you know, the stories around these animals, I think is really cool. People will like that.
Yeah, me too. So you got to get out there, Cheryl. It's time to get shopping.
I know.
You're so running out of time.
One thing you were talking about the like monthly subscription boxes. Yeah. One thing that there's a company in LA called Vistro that is sort of geared toward, you know, busy families who need something to eat. Mm-hmm. And so they'll send you frozen dinners, which are actually really delicious. So there are things that. Yes. And there are other companies that will do, you know, sort of tailored to you want really healthy or whatever. So, you know, that's kind of cool. If you want to sort of help out the frazzled, you know, routine of a family without just giving them like a gift card to a grocery store, this is a fancier way to do that.
I know there's others, but I don't want to say their names because I'm not sure if they're 100% vegan. A lot of them have vegan options, which is fantastic. I know that I've shopped before and have tried some of these out, and there'll be an entire menu of sort of pre-made meals where there's a recipe in there with all of the ingredients, mm-hmm. you know, which amazed me when I got a shipment and there was a single wrapped onion. You know, like it's in this like little netted bag because the recipe called for an onion. And this sounds like something, you know, maybe not every family can do or do all the time, but it's definitely something that would be appreciated by people who like to cook, who people want to sort of get kickstarted for cooking. I know Vistro, as you say, is very popular. There are others, but I love that idea. I love, you know, shipping food, shipping meals. Everybody loves to eat.
And then for the things that are, you know, sort of a little bit more engaging for cooking, like if people really like cooking, I think there are sort of gadgets, kitchen gadgets that are not like vegan exclusive, but are very much part of the vegan culture, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like everybody, you know, has or wants a Vitamix.
Exactly. Yep. I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah. And Vitamix. That's sort of the, you know, initiation into
being vegan. And here's a good one too. Vitamix. And if you can't afford a Vitamix, you can afford a spiralizer.
Ah, yes, that's true.
So you stick your eggplant in this contraption, which we have one now. You turn the crank and it makes your pasta looking, you know, zoodles. It'll make your zucchini noodles. You can also use it, depending on the blade you put on, you could use it to dice vegetables, to make potato chips and French fries. It's a really cool item, and it's very affordable. So everybody would like to have a spiralizer for the holidays as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then, you know, so we have a spiralizer, we have a Vitamix. The other thing that kind of lives on our counter and gets a lot, actually two things I would say that get a lot of use. One is the Instapot. And there's tons out there on using the Instapot, which is a pressure cooker, to make really healthy, especially in the sort of health vegan world. There's tons mm-hmm. out there on using Instapot. It is kind of amazing what it can do. And then the other thing that we have is a Zoji Rushi rice cooker, which, you know, is kind of the Cadillac of rice cookers.
And the steamer, right?
Well, yeah, you can do other things in there besides rice, but, you know, lentils or whatever. But what's interesting about it, what's so cool about it, and at first I didn't really get it when we first got it. I was like, why are we spending all this money on a rice cooker? But we use it all the time because it will keep your rice warm for like 3 days.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. So you just immediately have rice. So when people say, oh, you know, veganism seems hard, like that, this is one of the barriers, right?
Right.
It's,
right.
It's like so easy. Cause you know, there are times when you feel like cooking and times when you feel like eating and they don't always align, you know?
All right. I can't lie here. We're a very rice heavy household. So I need to look into this because that would save all of us a lot of sort of headache when the four-year-old who loves rice wants to make some, you know, they roll it in the little sushi wrappers and just make their own little roll-ups. But yeah, if it could stay warm for more than a day, that would be pretty incredible.
Okay, it is life-changing. I'm not kidding.
All right.
It is life-changing. And here's why. Because if it's pretty easy to scrounge up something healthy to put with rice, like the especially for kids, the you know the nori wraps
like a bibimbap,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I love to do like Japanese or Korean style stuff with the rice, but it's very easy. Just you always have like vegetables around, whatever. It's pretty easy to find vegan kimchi. Anything like that, avocado to put on the top. There's a seasoning that you can get at different Asian markets called furikake, which you have to read the ingredients because sometimes they have fish in them, but you have to get the ones that don't. And it's just like a vegan chef who used to work here at Compassion Over Killing told me about this. And she used it in a cooking demo that she did. And it's just basically seaweed and sesame seeds. Really amazing. And literally you can just take your rice and put the seasoning on it. And you're just like, that's your snack. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
But it's very easy to have just sort of your healthy kind of rice and vegetable based or tofu or whatever food, you know, lunch, dinner, whatever, without really any effort at all. When you have, it doesn't even, you can keep it in there for 4 days and it'll still be warm. It just starts to get kind of dry. But it's just totally changes your life because you just immediately have it and you can make it the base of anything. And you can mix the beans, like the lentils and rice in there too. And then you can use that for like whatever Mexican food or mix it with tomatoes.
I've got one for you since I know you have warm rice sitting around all the time. Have you made cheesy rice before?
No.
Okay. So just chop up or grate the follow your heart smoked Gouda or the chow. Just stir that into warm rice until the cheese starts to just get a little bit melty. It sounds weird, but basically it's a risotto if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just the risk here is that you'll give it to your kids and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I want more cheesy rice.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I would get stuck in that. Like have a hard time getting out. The kids are actually not that into cheese, which is so interesting because they never had it, right? I mean, they have the vegan kind, but the vegan kind is good and it's getting way better. You know, compared to like 10 years ago, it's just dramatic. But if that wasn't like part of your sense memory, maybe it's just less interesting to.
Yeah. So we've got rice cooker, Vitamix, we got spiralizer, we've got clothing, we've got other food items, we have books. I mean, there's so many wonderful things you can give during the holidays or for birthdays. Again, if there's anyone who has any ideas, email us at veganfamily@tryveg.com. Well, this has been fun, Cheryl. I think we've given a lot of incredible tips to people. What do you think?
Well, now I have more ideas too for my own list.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we're sharing here. So everyone, I hope you tune in. There's other episodes you can check out at tryveg.com/podcast and elsewhere on the internet. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast. Have episode ideas or questions about going vegan? Email us at govegan@tryveg.com.